All right, we'll go into our next Bible reading. That'll be on page 19 in your booklets or just in the screen behind me. It is Galatians 5, 22 to 26. But of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. All right, and on the next page, we'll continue reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
We come to the third session. Now everyone knows the third session after lunch is the hardest one, right? We're all like, oh, that was delicious lunch, full belly, had a hot cookie and a cup of tea. Really, I want to have a bit of a lie down, right? Okay, I knew that would happen. And so our third session, and the one that we're going to finish off, is a little shorter but also very active for you to be involved in. So we've looked at created, on our front, we've looked at created for love, by love, sorry, by God. We've looked at created for love, the love of the Father, and now we're looking at created to love. We really want to think about this fabulously practical application. We want to intentionally have the opportunity to actually discuss what all the stuff we've learned up until now means in the real world. We've looked at God, the fact that he lavished his love on us through the death of Jesus. We know that we are loved, and it was at great cost. So now, what do we do with that? How do we go out and make that count in the world? Well, as you look at your book on page 21, you'll see that there are two main categories. The first one is we're just going to touch on it, and the second one's the one that we're going to be working on this afternoon. We are created to love God. This famous quote by Augustine of Hippo way back in 400 AD might be known to you. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds itself in you. Let me say it again. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until we find ourselves in you. All our searching, all our striving, all our trying, all our failing. We've talked about that in the first session. All our feeble attempts to find meaning and purpose. All the journeys of self-discovery and self-fulfillment. In the end, they're all just weak attempts to fill that hole in our heart that can only ever be uniquely and permanently filled by a relationship with our God. By loving Him, and then after that, by loving the world that He's placed us in. We do that, we love other people as a response to what He has done for us. And there's so much more we could say in that space, but I want to finish with in that little section created to love God and leave that aside, maybe for another day. But we're going to focus today, for the last period of time we have, on created to love others. Now, we've read some great readings just now from Susanna. Thank you for those. If we flick back in our book to actually the very first reading that Danielle gave to us on page 6, that 1 John 4, we can go straight to verse 11. 1 John 4, verse 11. It says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." I'm going to pause there for a minute. Since God so loved us, we've established that this morning, we ought to love one another. It's as though John is saying, you love God? Good. Where's the evidence? And the evidence is in the way that I love other people. If you keep the commands of God, John is saying, you will keep the command of love. And John's super clear. He's super clear through the whole book of 1 John, and he's particularly clear here in chapter 4. John's emphasising the importance of believers loving each other. Now, we're going to come back to that in a minute, but believers, it's inside the family of God. He's highlighting it. He's underlining it. He's emphasising it again and again because it's vital that his readers and us understand it. And he's making such a big deal out of it because there's no doubt that some of his original readers and perhaps some of us don't realise that the love we have for God and the love we have for our brothers and sisters is inseparable. You cannot separate them. And there are numerous expressions of human love in the world. We know that people who don't know or acknowledge God and don't accept Jesus as the king of their life, they absolutely do great things for others. They show amazing love to others. They often leave us Christians for dead, actually, in their fervour and their commitment and their sacrifice of loving others. But what we are doing here is making a very clear distinction between the kind of humanistic philosophy of love and the agape love that we have received from God, the otherworldly, supernatural love that we have received and which John speaks of in 1 John. And the difference is that those who are God's children, us, those who believe in God and live for Him and honour Him, well, the very love that we give out to the world does not have its source in us ourselves. That's limited. Our source of love is God Himself. Remember that love that has no banks and no bottom? That's where we can draw our love from. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, empowers us to demonstrate that love. And it's not a theoretical love. It's not a love that we can think of over there. This kind of love is deeply practical. And it's proven in our experiences and in our faith. So we've spent the whole morning today looking at the fact that God is love, and that's a very part of his DNA, right? He's the beginning and the source of love. Then we saw that the supreme expression, demonstration of that love was when he sent Jesus to die for us, paying that once for all sin sacrifice so that we could be restored to God forever. Now we're going to move to our final bit, the fact that with God, through Christ, pour out that same love into the world. Because love, the love that we have to pour out, is initiated by God himself. As John is saying here in 1 John, you can't come into a real relationship with the living God without being transformed into a loving person. The love of God, it captures us when we understand it, when we grasp it, when we see it, when we really get it. It completely revolutionizes our lives. It takes control of our nature by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it changes us. It transforms us to be more like our Heavenly Father, and that love overflows like a gushing waterfall out of us and into the world around us. So, I forgot all about my PowerPoint. Sorry, I was so excited about my talk. Where am I up to now? About there. Can't come in to a real relationship with a loving God and not be transformed into a loving person. So, what are we actually talking about? That's what we're going to look at for a moment. What is this love we're actually talking about? It's page 22 in your booklet. Well, I'm suggesting that there are four categories. Now, there are so many other categories, but it might be overwhelming and confusing to think that we need to love others as God loves us. Whoa, we just talked about how God loves us. Are you serious? Like, that's pretty serious stuff. I don't know if I can do that. How do we even do it? Well, the love of God that we're commanded to show the world is extremely practical, as I just mentioned. It's the genuine patience of waiting for that little person to struggle up the steps and delighting when they succeed. It's the kindness of a genuinely encouraging smile to the checkout chick who made a mistake. It's giving money to the Christmas hamper donation when it actually means that you'll have to sacrifice your own treats. It's saying sorry first when you've had another conflict with someone who has wronged you. It's delighting in the achievements and successes of other people when you yourself have failed to achieve the same. It's visiting someone who is lonely on your only day off. It's practical. This kind of love is extremely practical. And in the chapter that Susanna read for us in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit are listed, and love is the first one of all. And it's easy and probably typical, as we learn in Sunday school, to reel them off and think that love is one of the nine fruits of the Spirit. But some commentators say, and for our purpose, I think it's very helpful to think of it as all of the fruits following love to be an expression of that love. So in that case, it would look like love expressed as joy, love expressed as patience, as peace, as kindness, as goodness, as faithfulness, meekness, and self. Really loving each other is going to cost us something. It's going to be sacrificial, but it's going to be so practical. It's to people who don't deserve it and can't give you anything back for it. But when we are real and when we love each other and when we're honest, That's when we truly, truly start to grow and flourish as women of God. I want to bring you, as we close up, five practical things that you can do as you love others. I did borrow them from John Piper, the great John Piper, so they're guaranteed to be very good. But let's put legs on this kind of love in the church. This wonderful list of applications about how we can really love each other. Well, number one, have the mind of Christ. And this means that we will have the humility of Christ. It means that we will consider one another above ourselves. It means that we will love and serve each other in the church with real servant-heartedness. We don't just love superficially. We don't just go through the motions with smiles that actually hide the gossip we were just saying. Or we say hello, but only because we have to and don't really show interest. We tick off the box to say we did what we're supposed to do, but there was no heart involved. Because if we have the mind of Christ, we have a servant attitude that says, I am here to serve you, to lighten your load, to see you the way Christ sees you. And I don't need anything in back to me. It's doing whatever needs to be done. And if that means that you have to be the lowest on the rung, then so be it. I put myself last so that you can be first. That's what the mind of Christ is. Number two, we offer Christ's welcome. This means that we welcome others in to the church, to the building, to our groups, to our Bible studies, to our communities, in the same way that Jesus welcomed us. So there's no place for little cliques in this kind of community. There's no my people, my friends, my family, my space. There's no room for I'm tired now, or I'm shy, or welcoming's just not my gift. If we love like God through Christ loves us, then we warmly embrace all of our brothers and sisters in the church in our own way, because we do it differently. We include everyone, we invite everyone, we decide to break out of our comfort zone sometimes for the sake of others. We consider not what we need, but what they need and how we can help them get that thing. We offer it to the people we know and dearly love, and we offer it sacrificially to those who are difficult to welcome, to those who are strange or lonely or outcast, because whatever we do to the least of our brothers, we do that for Christ. Thirdly, we speak the words of Christ. We all know it. Our tongue has the power of life and death. James tells us that. But if we love like Christ loved, then we will use our words to build up and to spur on, because we can be balm to each other's wounds. We are water to dry souls. We choose to listen with intent, with compassion, with patience, not just to our friends, not just to the people who are easy to be around, not just to the ones that we feel comfortable with, not just the easy conversations, but we long to connect with everyone. And we listen when others have words for us, and we listen with humility and with gratefulness. Fourth, we speak the words of Christ. We show the love of Christ. Perhaps the one that many of us find easiest and most natural. We serve one another. We bear one another's burdens. We seek to do good to one another. And we're not motivated by selfishness, but we've got a genuine humility. We show that love sacrificially and unconditionally to those who don't deserve it and can't repay it. And then we're demonstrating the love that God showed to us. And finally, we give the grace of Christ. We bear with one another in love when it's hard, when they are unkind or ungrateful or unworthy, when we've been disappointed by them, when we've been brokenhearted by them, when we've been betrayed by them. Because that's the shape of the love we see on the cross. Broken, betrayed, abandoned. Yes, people will hurt you. That's what people do. And you will hurt other people intentionally and accidentally within the community of Christ. You will be discouraged, and sometimes you will even be baffled at the words and actions of other people within the group that you call the community of Jesus. You will be confounded by the attitudes and behaviours and words of your sisters in Christ, because they are just like you, recovering sinners. And she will prod your patience and disappoint you and challenge your joy and disregard your kindness, and she will let you down and not do what you hoped she would do. How do I know? Because I'm one of the humans, and that's just the way we are. But the love of God, that's the thing that compels us, it empowers us, it spurs us on to love them like he loved us. And yes, that kind of love will cost you something. It might even cost you everything. And if it does, you're on the right track. We're going to finish today with a final conclusion in which I've attempted to sum up the day before we move on to a few other little things. So this is the concluding thoughts. Beloved, this is love. It is faithful and unchanging. It is not determined by the actions or responses of the object of the love. It's selfless, it's hopeful, it's patient. It's the very essence of God himself. The love that reaches out and rescued us while we were still dead in our sin, enemies of God, that's the love of God that displays itself through the Old Testament and the sacrificial system which we looked at, until in the fullness of time when Jesus came, he dwelt among us, he lived sinlessly and he died. He paid the price, the death that we should have paid, the death that we should have died. All for love, literally all for love, to satisfy the holy, righteous wrath of God against our sins, so that we could be made right. Remember, he created us so that he could delight in us, and he rescued us so that he would always be able to delight in us. It's everywhere. If you open your eyes, you will see God loves his people. They mess it up, he still loves them. On and on and on and on from the beginning of time until today. He is committed to us. He is faithful to us. Even when we and all the people that we read about in the Bible are unfaithful to him. And then when we understand how much we're loved, we become like conduits, like vessels, like representatives of him all over the world. And we love others with that overflow. God's love is poured into our hearts and we overflow it into the world. We shine in the darkness. We light up the world. And we do that through the love that we have for one another. And the world, as we know, is broken and divided. People are trapped in all sorts of places of selfishness. They're manipulated, they're deceived, they're desperately searching for love. And we get to show them what they are really looking for. We hold out the hope and the joy and the purpose and the love that they long for, because they see it in us. And this is not to say that we get it right all the time. We do not. We cannot. But we keep trying. And when we show that love to one another and to them, then we display the power of God, the power of the cross, the love of God and his son Jesus. That love that's been poured out into our hearts in order that we can go out into the world and pour it onto others. So my encouragement to you as you leave this place is to love like crazy. In a world that keeps telling us that love is conditional, that love is not meant to cost too much, that love is mostly about what I can get, let's be countercultural and love like crazy. I love a saying that says, I love them and there's nothing they can do about it. We're going to love sacrificially at great cost to ourselves. We're going to love practically. We're going to love those people who don't deserve it and can never, ever repay it and may not even be thankful for it. Because that's what God, through Jesus, did for us. And that's the way that the world will see that we are his beloved. We are his disciples. So let's pray. Father God, it's a lot. It's a lot to hold in our limited capacity, our limited minds and hearts. And yet we thank you that you loved us when we were far from you. You loved us when we did not deserve your love. Thank you, Lord God, that you sent Jesus to bring us back to you. Thank you that you had everything prepared in advance, that we would never be separated from you. And we pray that you would help us to pour this incredible love out into the world as we live who are women, as we live as women who understand our value and significance and how much and how dearly we are loved by you. Thanks for this amazing time that we've been able to open your word. Please keep helping us to learn more and more what it means to be truly treasured and truly loved by you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.